Welcome to another episode of Thrasher Opera House Presents. Today we are visiting with Michael Shahoney, who is involved with the Thrasher Opera House since 2016, officially a board member. And during that time, you have done things like long-range planning, vice president, and now you're the president of the board. It's been a good couple of years having you on the board with us.
Well, it's been a real pleasure. I'm really glad to be involved with it. And I am flattered by the trust that the board has put in me to move me into these positions. And hopefully I can fulfill their, you know, expectations.
Well, when you started, you were quickly put on the Long Range Planning Committee, which that's the committee that sort of decides the future of the Opera House in terms of projects or vision. And we've been sort of project heavy lately. The first project you sort of took the reins on was the upgrading our sound system. And I don't know what that was like for you. You're kind of a tech nerd to begin with, so I think it's a good fit.
Yeah, it worked out well. I did some sound engineering when I was in high school and college, and a little beyond college with local bands, Madison bands. So I had some familiarity with it. And what we didn't like was the presence of speakers on the stage. We wanted to clean that up and make it a better experience. We also knew that we could improve our quality of the sound and at the same time keep up with some of the technological improvements that have gone with sound. And our very apt sound engineer, Riley, I think, you know, mapped it out quite well as to what we needed. We had a sound company come in, auditioned a couple of different speaker arrays for us.
Which, that's fun. As a board member, it's kind of fun to be in that behind-the-scenes demo, so to speak.
It really was, and it was a weird, snowy day, but we still had board members show up, and we had a clear winner. Then it became a project of how do we get this mounted? How do we get this done? We had help from Riley. We had help from Robbie Irvin. And it really has become, I think, a tremendous improvement to our sound. And I remember specifically Jim Messina coming in and actually recording it, a small video of what a great improvement it was. And, of course, he was very familiar with our venue the way it was. And to see him recognize that was very rewarding as the chairman of that committee, but obviously had a lot of help from the committee and obviously support from the board. It was our goal to improve the experience that our patrons would have within our venue, and we feel that that's important. And, you know, the long-range planning committee, I think, as a whole views it that way. Obviously, you have to deal with the fires that you have to put out, the things that come up, you know, things like furnaces and air conditioners. And you know.
Right, that's part of it, too.
Exactly. So some things you don't have choices on. Other things, you know, you're always looking at how can we both preserve and advance mm-hmm. the venue. And so that part of it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, in 2017, we took care of the sound. And then the next exciting project that you have had a big part in is the visual side of things. We just approved a project to get a new lighting system here at the Opera House. And we haven't really announced it too publicly yet that that's happening, but it is happening. So I thought maybe we could talk about it and you could do the honors of announcing it now.
Great. Back when we did the sound, we had a couple of wish list items, and one of them was lighting. Again, that was in conjunction with Riley explaining to us what he thought from, you know, really being a production manager of the shows, what would really improve the venue. And obviously, we have incandescent old can lights, which are, you know, everybody's familiar
classics.
With it. If you've been in the theater, they're hot, they're heavy, they're single color. We've got the color, the primary colors, and that's it. And he mentioned, you know, hey, it'd be really great if we could go to some kind of LED system. There's a lot of options there. And I asked him for a ballpark figure, and believe it or not, back then he nailed it. Because the system that we're putting in is exactly about what he said it would be. So, yes, this year.
A couple months from now.
Yeah, we got to a point where all the parts are ordered. Some of them are in, waiting for a few more. But once we do that, it's going to really give And I think the committee said it well in that sound is one thing, and a lot of people picked up on it, but that's more of a nuance. This is going to be a whole new immersive experience, I think, for our artists, our patrons, everybody. We're just going to have so much more control. I think each light has the capability of 144,000 colors.
Yeah, that's a few more than three that we have
it
now.
It sure is. And controllable from a, you know, high-tech, basically control board. You'll be able to set up different scenes. It'll work, you know, not only for our music events, but also our drama events, our choir events. All of the things that we put forth will really benefit from this, and it will be an immediate impression on our audience.
Absolutely. The Thrasher space is a really flexible, versatile space in that we can have all sorts of different genres, from classical to rock and roll. And it'll be really great to have a lighting system that can complement each one of those types of genres. We'll have some moving lights, which is particularly exciting. We weren't sure if we could do that right off the bat, but luckily the board and the organization is in a position to just do this and do it right. And we really do have, for all these projects, the sound, the lights, and coming forth in the future, our community of donors and businesses to thank for laying the groundwork to make these things happen.
The support we get from our community and the businesses and our patrons is just tremendous. I mean, it's what keeps this thing alive. And obviously, it's extremely valuable within a small community like this to have a venue that puts forth the arts in all forms for everybody. And yes, we present genres across the board that so everybody can come to something that they like.
That's the hope, yeah.
Yeah, and this investment, starting with the sound system and going to the lights, it's taking us for the next decades. This isn't something that's going to work for a few years and then have to be revisited. These are long-range plans, and it's going to last us for a very long time. So yeah. Very good investment in furthering our mission.
Yeah, and I should also note that these things, all the artists that we have come with technical riders that do have sound requirements and lighting requirements, and we were sort of on that verge of not meeting some of those requirements, and it always has worked. I mean, our stage is beautiful, and once they get here, they're like, oh, this is a beautiful setting. But it'll be nice to be able to be like, yes, we do have that lighting that you are asking for, and that's just one less thing to have to try and negotiate and deal with on the front end of things.
Well, and that's an aspect that our patrons probably don't even consider, is that, you know, yes, we have to present a nice venue that provides you a great experience. But we, on the backside, you have to present a venue that's acceptable to our artists. And if you don't have some of these things, you might not draw some of the acts that we really want to bring in. And so you have to keep up with those times. And it's been well thought out, and going as state of the art is reasonable for us, both economically and the way our venue is set up. I think we're going to present a venue that our artists have always loved, but now they're going to love even more.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the first show we have with that new lighting system, and we're not exactly sure when it's getting installed, but this summer. I would say maybe take a look at our schedule and pick a show this summer so that you can come see this really cool new thing we've got going on. That none of that was what I was planning to ask you about. It just kind
that's
of happened.
Right.
because that's what's happening. But I did want to go back a little bit and ask you, what made you get involved with the Thrasher to begin with? Did you have a moment where you're like, this place is cool, I want to get more involved? Or did you just get suckered in like the rest of us? No, I'm just kidding.
Interestingly, you know, I hadn't been to much here, but it's because we were busy raising children. We have three adult boys now, and we were getting on that verge of being total empty nesters, and you know, I frankly didn't have a lot of disposable time, frankly.
Sure.
And one of our board members, Halchip Bierman, saw me one evening and said, I need to ask you a question. And she asked if I would serve on this board. And I asked what was involved. And I obviously knew about the Thrasher. I just hadn't had enough time to really spend a lot of time here. And I thought about it, and it was unequivocally, yes, I want to get involved. And it goes to my interest in music. I mean, as a high schooler, I think I had my first hi-fi in eighth grade. And I mean, it was a tube Fisher amplifier, and, you know, have been a music enthusiast forever. I have over 700 vinyl LPs, and I have 8,000 songs on my iPod or whatever, Apple Music. So I've always been enthusiastic about music and live performance. And so I thought, yeah, this is a great place for me to donate my time.
Yeah, and I think something that you've said to me in the past is, like, we've talked about other board members and other folks in the community, but giving something back to the community. Like, it's time now, you know, you've raised your kids, you're in that part of your life where it's time to give back.
Exactly.
So we're really glad that you do.
Well, I'm really enjoying it. And we have a great board with a very diverse group of people who are dedicated to it. And they're fun to work with. They're easy to work with. At the same time, get challenged on points. You get challenged from all different angles. And it helps us all come up with the best solution for the venue. The staff is fabulous. Working with the people that are involved here, they make our job easy. And so...
Well, vice versa. It's a win-win.
And that's what makes a great organization. If you have people butting heads and arguing over the minutiae, you're not going to get things done. And I think we really move this forward, and it's because of really good people who are involved.
I absolutely agree. Okay, putting you on the spot. Mm-hmm. Best Thrasher moment that you've had?
Well, I've told that story so many times.
To me, but not to the world.
A.J. Croce came to play his music, not his dad's music. He's Jim Croce's son. And kind of embarrassingly, toward the end of the show, somebody piped out, you know, hey, would you play something from your dad? And that's one of those cringeworthy moments, like, oh, he's here to play his music, not his dad's music. And, you know, sometimes artists really shy away from that. Like, I don't want to be... AJ took it in stride. He said, only if you sing it. And so literally this man stood up and started singing Time in a Bottle. And the whole crowd started singing Time in a Bottle. And AJ played along. And then he came in on the refrains. And I looked at my 25-year-old son who was sitting next to me, and he had tears streaming down his face. I had tears in my eyes. I don't think there was a dry eye in the house. And it was just, that's what we are. This isn't just a show. Mm-hmm. These are moments. Mm-hmm. These are memories. You come to one of these shows, it is so intimate. It may be an artist you've never heard of. It may be an artist that you followed your whole life. But it's a moment. You are so intimate with both the crowd around you. There's only 200 people max. Mm-hmm. And that artist. You're so close. There isn't a bad seat in the house for sound, view, anything. And it just, it gives you emotion. And that was one of those moments. There have been many, frankly.
Yeah. It's those unscripted moments, which mm-hmm. I think we as the audience really enjoy. But I think the artists also enjoy those moments, too, the things that aren't planned. It's not written on their set list. Like, the spontaneity of a live show in a small venue, it's just different. You know, in a big venue, you have to follow the cues. You have to follow, because the lights are going to do what the lights do when the lights do them in a big venue. Here, you have a real person sitting at the lighting console, and, you know, Riley's up in the balcony and can adjust things at a moment's notice if need be. So it lends itself well to many special moments like that one at AJ.
Yeah, people
Croce.
Will just pipe out something, you know, say something out loud, and the artist will pick up on it, and then they'll run with it. And it's really kind of funny. I think that the artists find it special too. You know, it's very connective for them. Mm-hmm. They can look out and see faces.
Yeah.
They can look out and see expressions.
We just had Carlene Carter a couple weeks ago, and somebody in the audience asked to marry her. So talk about spontaneous moments.
Did she accept?
No, she gracefully declined. Surprisingly.
At least it was gracefully.
Yeah, she was really good. It's like she's maybe had that happen before, but yeah, it was funny. What is something that you think everybody needs to know about this place? If you could send a message to somebody who's never been here before, what would it be?
You'll never see a show in a more intimate place. You can be in a coffee house and see some. It's not going to be the same as it is here. The sound is better. The view is better. I don't know if people realize this, but our stage is slanted from the back being higher than the front so that you can see the act better because we have a flat floor.
Yeah.
It's not the other way. And I don't know, to me, that it's just special.
Well, that's a historic piece that it's called a rake stage. And lots of historical stages were like that because you didn't have the audience on a slant. So that's just yet another aspect of Thrasher that is authentic to 1910 that we kept in place. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Mike. I'm glad we were able to introduce you to our podcast fans. I know there's a lot of them out there. And if you haven't subscribed to us yet, hit that subscribe button, like us on Facebook, follow us on all the social medias. I'm not very good at listing them all off, but everybody knows Instagram, Facebook, etc. Yes, thank you for your time today, and thank you for your time on the board.
Oh, you're welcome.
You're the best.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks.
Ta-da.